Amen. Amen. Dismiss our children to Children's Church, those fifth grade and below. Follow Miss Christie and Miss Carmen. Find your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to read verses 4 through 8, then skip and read verses 17 through 19. Jeremiah chapter 1. Start reading in chapter 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. But I protested, "Oh no, Lord God. Look, I don't know how to speak since I am only a youth." Then the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you to and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you and deliver you." This is the Lord's declaration. Move to verse 17. Now get ready. Stand up and tell them everything that I have commanded you. Do not be intimidated by them, or I will cause you to cower before them. Today I am the one who has made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the population. They will fight against you, but never prevail over you, since I am with you to rescue you. This is the Lord's declaration. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Father, as we look at your word this morning, we would study it with integrity. Father, hide me behind the cross. May it be you and you alone, the one that's seen. Father, may the preparation and presentation be honored and glorified in your name. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Make no excuses. Make no excuses. Have you ever noticed how man is skillful at the art of making excuses? We are all skillful at when time comes and something is needed, we make excuse after excuse after excuse. If we do not want to participate, we say things like this: "I don't know how," or "I don't understand." We even say, "I cannot find the right tools," or "I threw out my back bowling last night." We say all these excuses. Even say, "I have a doctor's appointment. Something's coming up. Something is more important. Something is in the way, and I cannot do what God wants me to do because, God, I have these excuses." And my all-time favorite is the one that you hear: "When I got up this morning, I accidentally took 2 X-Lax. I took it with my Prozac. I'm on the John all the time, but I feel good about it." Now, that may be silly, but listen. Oftentimes, our excuses are just that silly before God. When He knows all well that He created you. And He created you from dust. He knows who and what you are. He knows what you face, what you've been through. He knows everything about you, and He loves you anyway. And as His child, a child of God, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, He has sent you into the world to proclaim the message of hope. Jeremiah had a message of doom and gloom. We have a message of hope. There's judgment coming. But we have a message of hope to escape that judgment. Jeremiah had every excuse ready for God when God came calling to ask him to do something. However, as we see in these scriptures, God did not take no for an answer. God was stern in saying Jeremiah should not give excuses, as we see in verse 7 where it states, "Do not say I am only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you and speak whatever I tell you." However, we see something that oftentimes we overlook. God did not disagree with Jeremiah in that he was unable. In fact, God in verse 8 says, "Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you and deliver you." God knew that Jeremiah was going to need some help. And God said, I will go before you, I will go with you, and I'll clean up after you. Jeremiah, I just want you to go. And that same call, that same truth is for each and every person here today. He wants for us to go. Clearly, as we see in these scriptures, God is not a fan of excuses. He will provide for us. In the Christian world, here today, we can find all sorts of excuses not to obey God's voice. Here's my favorite. It's the preacher's job. Wait a minute. I am the preacher. I'm just a poor, wicked sinner saved by grace. Here to do what God's, attempt to do what God's called me to do, I'm better than no one. In fact, less than all of them. But for some reason, God has a sense of humor. He called me to preach His word, to preach His message. Though I gave excuse for a season, for many a seasons and did not follow His call, we're all guilty of these very similar excuses. It's not my gift. Here's one that really just, I don't understand. I've already served there. Nowhere in Scripture does God say, I called you. By the way, when you reach such and such age, I'll stop calling you to do anything. If you've still got breath within you, God has called you and He still has a plan for you. Now, that may change and alter, but it does not mean we stop and give up. We continue and we move forward is what God's Word shares for us. To be plugged in, to be a people that follows after Him. Too often others give excuses such as, I'm too busy, I'm too tired, I'm too old, I'm too young. I feel that most Christians want to serve. I really do. And we allow Satan to place within us that small seed of doubt. And we're all guilty of watering it and letting it grow, instead of uprooting it and moving it out of the way. We give excuses from our busy weeks and our busy lifestyles, and that there's not a person in this room that does not have busy weeks and busy lifestyles. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we each one have a call. We're each one important to grow in God's kingdom. So how, the question I want us to ask ourselves this morning is, how can I address these issues and serve God faithfully? How can I address these issues and serve God faithfully? What hope and instruction do I receive? What can I learn from the excuses that I give? That's the question I want us to answer this morning. The questions I want us to answer this morning. First, what can I learn from about the excuses that I give? And I give the excuse. Number one, the task is demanding. The task is demanding. In life, we have two imminent choices that we each have to choose. And it goes something like this. Either my faith for Jesus Christ is living, or my faith for Jesus Christ is dead. James chapter 2, verse 26, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. We're called to be active in spite of the demanding call that God gives us. Why do you think people that serve God in times past, why do you think we get guilt, we get tired, we get stricken, we get to the point that we're ready to give in and give up? Why do you think we do that? Because it's tough. God never said, Jesus never said it's going to be easy. It's tough. But we're called to follow after Him. When you serve in any capacity, you're dealing with people. This is going to hurt a little. That like to grumble and complain. And I'm one of them. And as a Christian, guess what? Christ died for people. In spite of our sinfulness, in spite of our shortcomings, in spite of our grumbling and complaining, though God's Word shares with us to serve Him and follow after Him without the grumbling and complaining. We're called to be obedient to Him. When we are out of God's will and doing our own thing, sometimes it seems that life appears simpler. God will grab our attention. The Holy Spirit will convict us. But oftentimes we get this attitude: I'm just going to hold off for now, Lord. But if we're in God's will, Satan is right there. It seems like Satan shows up after every victory because he does not want victories in Jesus, though he's already won the war. That's what the life's toughness becomes, is because when we're in the will of God, Satan wants to make it tough because he wants us to stop. But when we're out of God's will, it seems like we get to sleep a little longer. We get to stay at home in the air conditioning, or as in the case may be here in the past few days, beside the fireplace. But we have the opportunity to separate ourselves from people. How does this relate to me? Because people like to give excuses. And when the going gets tough, instead of the tough get going, we like to stop and step aside and give those excuses, just like Jeremiah did. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, Paul warned us against giving excuses. He says this: do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure children of God, who are faultless in a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine like stars in the world. The task may be demanding, but we are called to shine like stars so Christ can be seen. So we are called to make Christ known. We are called to know Christ more and to make Christ known. How can an inactive Christian shine like stars? They can't. An inactive follower of Christ cannot shine like stars. We're called to be active. God may assign you and me or anyone else a demanding task, but His call should keep us going. In fact, in His Word, we see that He promises to give us purpose in the calling. Jeremiah 1:5, it says, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. The verb here for knew or chose comes from the Hebrew word yada, which means knew or chose. It also means to be acquainted with, to be made known, and to appoint. This has much more meaning than simply being aware of. It carries the idea of recognition of the worth and value of the purpose of Him who made Himself known. So in other words, God knew Jeremiah. God chose Jeremiah. God appointed Jeremiah. And by the way, He also knows you by name. He also handpicked you for a task that He's got laid out for your life. And He commissioned you to serve. We are God's creation, and He has a plan for you. He has a plan for each of us. And for His body to function properly, each part of the body has to function properly, in spite of it being demanding. Number two, what can I learn about the excuses I give? I give the excuse, my talent is inadequate. My talent is inadequate. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 6, we see Jeremiah doing just this. But I protested, oh no, Lord God, look, I don't know how to speak since I am only a youth. Jeremiah felt inadequate as a speaker. This is the same excuse that Moses gave in Exodus 4 verse 10, chapter 4 verse 10. And the same excuse that we too give today. I don't know how to speak. I don't know how to share. I know that I'm saved, but I don't know how to share the gospel. Let me tell you something. When God calls us to share, nobody can change or alter your testimony of how He touched you. Share that. Share your story that relates to His story and how He died on the cross for our sins. How He offers a gift of salvation. It's a very simple process, but we, because of our excuses, we make it difficult. And we make it hard when it shouldn't be. When I went up, when Willis Kelly was interim pastor here and answered the call to preach, you know what the first thing he said to me?
get in that altar and pray, boy. You know, here's what my thoughts are. He knew Greg Gnarl. He probably did felt like, you know, God got a pretty good call, but Greg may have a bad connection. Here's what I do think Willis Kelly probably recognized. I love Willis Kelly, and he'd say amen to this. Willis Kelly has faults. Greg Gnarl has faults. But when we answer a call, we need to answer the call. Whether it's preacher, Sunday school teacher, VBS director, choir director, whatever. When we answer a call, we answer the call. And we do it to the best of our ability, which is nothing. And we let go and let God and allow Him to work in and through us. That's what a call is. That's what Willis Kelly taught me the very first day when I answered the call to preach. It's not about Greg. It's about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we need to be obedient to the fact that He is in control of each and every step. And God knows that we're inadequate. God knows that we fall way short. He has a way of overcoming our inadequacies. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Paul wrote and asked for the thorn in the flesh to be removed from me. But he said to me in verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." Therefore, Paul replied, "I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may reside in me." In other words, our inadequacies, we still need to rely on God. Our adequacies, we still need to rely upon God. We need to place Him first and foremost in our hearts and lives and stop giving the excuse that we're unable, because He knows that we're unable and He calls us anyway. We need to notice one thing. In these scriptures, God did not disagree with Jeremiah that Jeremiah was inadequate. God agreed with him, just like He agrees with us in our being inadequate. However, God does not call the equipped, He equips the called. As we see in the scriptures in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, "Then the Lord reached out His hand, touched my mouth, and told me, 'I have now filled your mouth with my words.'" The touch was much more than just to purify. The touch was to inspire and to empower Jeremiah to follow Him, to do what He's called him to do, to show a world that needs to know. In his day, Israel, you followed after idols and you've left and abandoned your first love, being that which was God. And today, we follow after self, neglect to trust and rely upon and follow after the one true God, and we allow Satan to fill us with lies that we believe. We are inadequate, but He is adequate. Just like God told Moses, just like God told Jeremiah, is the same thing He tells us today. You are not adequate, but I am. That's what God says. We see it in Exodus 4. "Tell them I am the one who sent you. Moses, I know you're unable to speak, but I am. I know you're not able to do this, but I am. Greg, I know you can't preach, but I am able. Greg, stay in the Word, because I have given of myself." He is able. That's what He wants us to recognize in the middle of our inadequacies, because we are inadequate, that He is able. He is able. Number 3, and you fill in the blanks. What can I learn about the excuses I give? I give the excuse, the time is not right. The time is not right. Jeremiah said to God, "I am only a youth," in Jeremiah 1:6. The word youth or child is the Hebrew word na'ar, which means child or youth, of course, but much more in this context. This Hebrew word also means one who serves the owner or employer, one who is straying and lost, one that is scattered. Since Jeremiah is giving excuses here, we are to understand this statement to mean he considered himself immature to do what God has called him to do. He felt inferior. He felt inexperienced. He felt intimidated by the size of the task that God had given him to do. In other words, like us, Jeremiah did not consider God's timing to be right. Let me tell you one thing. God is never wrong, and His timing is always right. He's an on-time, in-time God every day, every moment. God's call may come at an inopportune time for you. It may seem like an inconvenience, but He never sends you by yourself. He goes before you, He goes with you, and He goes after you. He is always and ever there. We have the promise of God's presence given to us in His Scriptures. Listen to God's stern but loving reaction to the excuses that Jeremiah was giving. Then the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a youth,' for you will go to everyone I send you and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to deliver you." This is the Lord's declaration. Wow. Do you know this same statement that God gave to Jeremiah, He gives to us today? Through His Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within all believers, when we have something that God has given for us to do, He shares with us that He will convict us of what we need to say. He will give us what we need to say. And He's already been there working in the hearts of the people that we're there to go to. It doesn't seem like we have much to do except for obey God and go. Obey God and go. Because His timing is always right. If God reveals something to you, He is probably telling you that the time is right for you to act right now. Right now. And we need not to miss that. Number four, what can I learn about the excuses that I give? I give the excuse, the teaching is dangerous. The teaching is dangerous. The question we ask is this: what if people don't agree with us? You know what? You know what Jesus said? They're probably not going to agree with you. But they're not over you. They didn't create you. They didn't call you. You're to go anyway. God did not give Jeremiah a joyful message to go give to the people. He gave him a tragic message of judgment. Do you think the people really enjoyed to hear Jeremiah speaking that judgment's coming? You better change the way you live because judgment's coming. That's exactly the message that Jeremiah gave. And you know what's the same truth today? Judgment's coming. But Jesus reigns. He's already come to the cross and taken our judgment upon the cross. All we have to do is surrender to Him as Lord and Savior. It's a simple gift. And that has requirements. That has accountability. That has, in God's Word, it shares with us that we're the love for 1 John 5:3 says, "The love for God is this, that you obey My commands. And My commands are not a burden." Too often we're guilty of saying His commands are a burden when they're not. When it's just being obedient to where He says go, to do what He says do, to say what He says say. And the biggest thing that we have as an advantage today that Jeremiah didn't have, we've got His Word. We've got His Word. His inerrant, absolute truth, His Word. It shares and tells us to us what we should and should not do. Shares and tells with us His love for us in spite of our sinfulness. Shares and tells with us that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but He didn't stay there. As we talked about last week, He arose in victory over death, hell, and the grave. And He lives today. It may be and seem dangerous. Jeremiah would be misunderstood. Persecuted, arrested, imprisoned. More than once his life was threatened. The people did not want to hear the truth. Guess what? Today they don't want to hear the truth either. You look at our society. You look at what people are saying. But that shouldn't cause us to be upset and disgruntled. That should cause us to share and tell even more. To point towards the hope that we have within us. To give a defense for the gospel that lies within us. 2 Peter 3:15. Jeremiah told them plainly they were defying the Lord. and they were outside of His will. Judgment's coming. We too have the same message of judgment, but there's hope in Jesus Christ. God in these scriptures, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 13, says, "Again, the word of the Lord came to me inquiring, 'What do you see?' And I replied, 'I see a boiling pot, its lip tilted from the north to the south.'" God used this boiling pot as a symbol of what was to come. And that symbol was that Babylon, that is to your north, I'm rising them up, and if you don't change your ways, judgment's coming, and you're going to go into exile. Jeremiah had a simple message, and he gave that message, but the people didn't listen. Judgment is coming. What God says through us may be dangerous, but God gives us the strength to endure. We have the promise of God's prevailing. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. "Today, I am the one who has made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the population. They will fight against you, but never prevail over you, since I am with you to rescue you." We need to be willing to stand up and speak up what God's Word shares. And stop giving the excuses, because there's people that need to know who Jesus is, that need to hear the gospel truth, the gospel message of salvation. And they're looking to you and you and you and you and me to find it in our daily lives. And if we're no different from them, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. In the days of the Roman Empire, the Roman Colosseum was filled to capacity with people coming to watch humans battle humans, humans battle beasts, and the thing that they enjoyed the most was when a human lost their life. Murder. They enjoyed it. We remember them by the gladiators. Now, here's what happened. A gentleman named Saint Telemachus was watching this. He kind of had enough. He jumps onto the Colosseum floor and said, "My Lord and my God, what are they doing? This has got to stop. In the name of God, let's stop this murdering stuff." You know what happened? The people got mad. They threw stuff at him. The gladiators got up, pierced him, and killed him. You know what happened next? A complete silence came over the Colosseum. They finally recognized what murder was. You can look it up, and you can see the story, how a few months later, slowly but surely, we see a decline in these activities. In that, slowly but surely, we see the gladiatorial games and the killings go away. What am I saying? The task was demanding. But one man stood up and stood for what was right, and it impacted a society and a culture. Today, we live in a world where people are just like the last verse of Judges, are doing what's right in their own eyes. We need one man or one woman. We need all Christians, man or woman, to stand up. Stop giving excuses. Stand for what's right. Because there's this world around us that's lost and headed for a place called hell. Eternal separation from God. Eternal torment and torture. But there's hope in Jesus Christ. We need to be willing to get outside of our comfort zones and share the gospel message, the gospel truth of how everyone can have hope in Jesus Christ. In closing, from Jeremiah, God was expecting immediate action. God said in Jeremiah 1:17, "Now get ready, stand up, and tell them everything I command you." By the way, He's given us the same command today. Acts 1:8. But the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And I will be with you. God wants us to know that we're called to go, we're called to act, and called to respond. But I want you to always remember one verse. Always remember. If you're here this morning, you've not surrendered to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I want you to remember it. If you're here this morning, you have surrendered to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I want you to remember it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says this, "It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. No matter where you are, what you've done, God calls for you, come home. God calls for you to trust in Him. God calls for you to surrender to Him. You can look to your left, your right, front, behind you. You're surrounded by a bunch of sinners. That's what we all are. The hope that we have is that He touched us, made us whole when we responded. He'll not touch you without your love. When you get on your knees and you say, "Father, I know I'm a sinner," you ask Him to cleanse you, He will cleanse you and make you whole. He will come and live in your heart and life, restore the relationship that's broken because of our sins. Won't you come? Won't you respond? Won't you answer? If you're a Christian here today, you've not been in God's will. You've been outside of God's will doing your own thing. I want you to remember this too. He asked you to come home. Stop traveling down that road away from Him. Come home. He wants you to come home.
Yeah.
And we do too. Come home and serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Worship Him with us. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing hymn number
294. 294.